When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Number 61.
The home run king, Roger Maris.
There it goes! Number 60.
When you know you're real close to something, you're going to try and gun for it.
Number 61. He ties Roger Maris.
This is something special, but we're not done yet.
Ready, waiting, anxious. High fly ball.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We are now on ESPNU. You can download the podcast. You can listen on your smart speakers. And if you want to take us with you wherever you go and listen live, you don't want to wait for the podcast, go to the ESPN app. Click on it. Lower right-hand corner. Click on more. Scroll down to listen live. We're right there. You take us with you. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Yes, this is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Good morning, Key. Good morning, Jay. We are joined now, Max? By the great Tim Kirkchin, ESPN Major League Baseball insider. Good morning, Tim.
Hi, fellas. How are you?
Oh, I'm feeling good this morning, Tim. Tim, Tom Verducci, my friend Willie Geist, retweeted it, has an article where he says Bonds is the official home run champion. Judge is the authentic champion. One has the official designation. The other is unofficial, but has the prestige of authenticity. What do you think about that? I think that's well put.
I understand Tom's one of the best baseball writers ever, and I understand what he's saying. This is a really difficult subject here because Barry Bonds hit 73 homers in one season, and we just don't know how many of those were affected by whatever he was doing. So in the absence of that absolute proof, I don't think there's any doubt he is the all-time record holder for a single season. But the understanding is this is a line in a record book, and it's really important, but it doesn't tell the whole story. And that's why we need to tell stories about things like this so people understand there are other sides to all these. So when you ask me who's the all-time home run leader for a single season, it's Barry Bonds. But I understand anyone who could look at it another way. It's the only way to do this. We're going to leave it up to our best baseball fans to make their own determination. And there are a lot of different ways to go on this topic.
Hey, Tim, real quick, I think that's super well put. That's why we need to tell stories and contextualize. The only thing I would push back on is the idea we don't know how many were helped by stuff, because he had set a baseline over the course of well over a decade as one of the greatest players ever. But his home run to at bat ratio at the age of 35 shot up with no external changes in the game, ballpark, etc., like to unprecedented, historically impossible levels. Like I told Key, a wideout who ran a 4.2 super fast, as whole fast as anyone ever, and then at the age of 35 started running a 3.8. We'd be like, okay, we know exactly how. It helped him by 0.4 of a second. And I think there's a similar thing to say about Bonds, but I appreciate the storytelling point. I think it's a great one.
Well, again, I'm just not sure exactly how many were determined by whatever he was doing. I mean, and crazy things happen in sports all the time. Bob Beamon won the high jump and the long jump in 1968 by like 2.5 feet. Granted, it was in the thin air in Mexico City, but at the same time, remarkable things happen when remarkable athletes are involved. But this is why we're going to keep talking about this forever. And this is the unfortunate part of the steroid issue, is that we're still talking about it you know, 20 years later. And we're going to be talking about it 40 years from now. And it's a little bit unfortunate to me, and I think to all of us, that Aaron Judge should be celebrated for what he has done, which is remarkable, rather than comparing it to an era of 20 years ago. But I totally understand why, because that was a really important era, and it's something we need to talk about for a long, long time.
Tim Kirchen, ESPN Major League Baseball analyst, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Tim, where does Aaron Judge's season, including the home runs and everything that he's done, stack up in baseball history?
Well, it's certainly one of the best seasons that I've ever seen, and I've covered for 42 years. I think you can make a case it is the best season of the last 10 years, meaning it's better than Miguel Cabrera's Triple Crown season. And you could make a case, at least, it's better than any season had by Mike Trout, which is really, really saying something. But once you get back into the Bonds seasons, and again, there's an asterisk there for a lot of people, and I understand why. Now we're in different territory there. I mean, Ted Williams had three of these seasons at least, and would have had three more if not for military service. Babe Ruth had about 6 to 8 of these type of seasons. But again, that was a different time and a different era. I just implore people to not try to compare different eras because they were so different. But to, you know, discount something that Ted Williams did or Babe Ruth did, I just don't think you could say, well, Aaron Judge is better than all of those, because those eras were different than the one in which he's playing. And he has indeed done this during the hardest time, the hardest environment to hit, I believe, in Major League history. We've never seen anything quite like this. But the pitching that these guys see, and that's why Judge will get extra credit points for this season.
Tim Kirchen, ESPN MLB insider, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Tim, I've been the one saying this, that I think that Aaron Judge is the LeBron James of baseball physically and also being the face of baseball. One thing I do know as athletes is that when I feel like my value isn't being seen by an organization, it can make me slightly petty. So I ask, what kind of contract do you think Aaron Judge is in store for? And do you see any other suitors where Aaron Judge could say, hey, look, I appreciate everything you've done for me, New York. I'm having an all-time, maybe the greatest season offensively a player has ever had. And maybe I'm going to take my talents to San Francisco. Maybe I'll take them to the Mets. Maybe I'll take them somewhere else because I feel like I was slighted.
He's going to get $300 million. Plus, with the next contract, and he's going to make at least $100 million more, I believe, than what the Yankees offered him, that he turned down, bet on himself, and then put up this kind of season, which is just amazing. I think it's going to be very difficult for the Yankees to not give him what he wants if indeed he wins the MVP, which I think he will. And let's say they go deep into the playoffs, maybe even win the World Series. How could they justify not bringing him back? But sure, there's a scenario where he doesn't come back, where the Mets give him so much money he can't say no. I don't anticipate that happening. But the Giants are a team, you know, he's from that area. They desperately need a star. They desperately need an offensive force in their lineup. So there are several scenarios where Aaron Judge could end up somewhere else. But wherever he ends up, he's going to be making over – he'll make over $300 million in the next contract.
Yeah, no question.
You know, that's what I say, Tim. I kind of align myself with you. There's like you just – if you're the Yankees and you're the organization – and you're looking at this, and this player is doing what he's doing and making a deep run into the playoffs, it's very difficult to say we're not going to give him $300+ million and we're going to let our in-state or in-city rival snatch him up with the Mets and we're going to let him go to California to play because he's from there. It's just hard to see an organization do that. And speaking of an organization – the Yankees going to the playoffs, how deep of a run do you think they can make?
Well, they're pretty darn good, especially lately. They've straightened out their starting pitching. If they win today, they'll win 100 games this year, and I think they are good enough to go to and win the World Series. I think the Astros are better than they are. I think the Braves and the Dodgers are better than they are. I think the Mets are better than they are, but this is postseason baseball, and I think they have a chance to make a long run in the playoffs if, of course, they can figure out who's pitching where in their bullpen and how healthy is it, Clay Holmes, Aroldis Chapman. They're going to have to figure that out if they're going to get to and win the World Series. So I expect them to be in the league championship series in the American League, but I think Houston's pitching is just so good right now. I would give the Astros the edge to go to the World Series from the American League.
I get that. Although, you know what? Another Yankees record was broken last night because Gerrit Cole had tied Ron Guidry's strikeout record for the Yankees, 248. It's not a very high total considering strikeout totals for other clubs, but he had 9 strikeouts. He's leading. Like, you know, so if Gerrit Cole gets going and Severino, Tim, came back and was throwing over 100 again and pitched 7 scoreless innings, not to mention Nestor Cortez's whole magical season. The Yankees, you're right, the bullpen's kind of a mess after being so strong early, but the starting pitching looks good heading into the playoffs.
Max, it's really good. If Gerrit Cole's at his best, he's one of the 5 best pitchers in the game. Nestor Cortez has had a great year, and that last start was preposterous. He was so good. Tyone has been great most of the season. He's averaging a walk and a half per 9 innings. And if Severino is that guy who you take out after a 7 inning with no hits allowed, you've got those 4 guys lined up. They can match any 4 in Major League Baseball. That's why the Yankees have a chance. They have a lot of thunder in that order and great starting pitching. They just got to shore up that bullpen and do a few other things. And again, I think they can make a deep run if everything goes right.
Tim Kirkjian, storytelling. That's why you need to tell the stories. Thank you, Tim, as always.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay, guys, see you.
Is it all, speaking of stories, is the story of Baker Mayfield in Carolina already over?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yes, it is hot news or not news time, and that means the great Kimberly A. Martin is with us, ESPN NFL reporter extraordinaire. First Take Her Take podcast. You ready to play hot news or not news, Kimberly?
Let's do it.
Aaron Judge hit his 62nd home run of the season. So here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, we ask you, is that hot news or not news?
Finally he did it. I was actually getting nervous. Like, are we ever going to see this 62nd home run? But I grew up a Yankee fan. I actually cover the Yankees, so I'm not as much of a fan now. But to see a homegrown guy Like, I think that's been the issue with the Yankees for a lot of years. Like, they don't have enough homegrown talent. So to see one of their own come out and break Roger Maris, like, it's just, it was beautiful.
Yeah, they came up with those baby bombers, but Gary Sanchez didn't exactly pan out this one and that one, but Aaron Judge sure did.
Hold on, Camille. You say you grew up a Yankees fan, but then you covered the Yankees. And
yeah,
you're not
I covered
so much
baseball.
So you have to be objective, or did you find out things about the Yankees that maybe like,
I think once you see how the sausage is made. No, but I think with sports in general, baseball was probably my number one sport. But once you cover the Mets and the Yankees and you're in the clubhouse and you're dealing with guys and you're on the road and stuff, the fan had to die a little bit. I remember AJ Burnett and Mark Teixeira and like CeCe, like, okay, the Yankees are bringing in outside talent. They're going to win World Series. So to see, to see a guy come up in the system, I loved it.
Jerry Jones leaving the door open for Dak Prescott to return in week 5. Is that hot news or not news?
You know, it's hot news because we're talking about it on all these shows. Whenever Jerry speaks, that's the reality. But the hotter news would be Jerry Jones saying Dak won't be back till week 10 or something like that. Like, tell me when Dak will play, or tell me he won't play for like another month. I think we all assume that week 5, week 6, like around here would be the time. But if the guy can't even grip a football right now, I don't want him facing Aaron Donald.
A lot of Aarons out there.
Aaron is like the best. Is Aaron the number one sports name right now? All the best players are
Rodgers. Donald's pretty up there.
Rodgers, Judge,
Donald, Jones,
everybody, all the Aarons. Hank Aaron, boy, what a name. Key, what do you think?
Oh, I was letting y'all finish. I want to jump in. Not news. Not news at all. It's Jerry speaking, man. And when he speaks, people listen, and it's the Cowboys. It's not news. I think anybody that has had any type of hand injury and screws in it, they know you can't come back as fast as Jerry may have thought initially. But Cooper Rush is playing well. So whenever Dak is ready to go, he becomes the starting quarterback again. But it's not news at this present moment.
You see, I think it's not news, and I think we're asking the wrong question, right? Everybody keeps saying, well, when is Jerry Jones going to have Dak come back? As a player, I'm saying, when should Dak want to come back? Mm. When does Dak actually feel like he's ready to go?
And he should not let anybody else enter that conversation.
You know how you players are. You know that you're going to try to come back before. Like, I covered Russell when he came back last year with the thumb, and he looked terrible.
That should be the example then, Kimberly, you know? Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron
Rodgers tells the Pat McAfee Show that he hopes to play with Odell Beckham Jr. Hot news or not news, Kimberly?
To me, it's not news because I don't really care where who he wants to play with. Who does Odell want to play with? The Packers wanted Odell last year. Devontae couldn't convince him to come. If I'm Odell, why do I want to go to cold-ass Green Bay? Honestly, why?
To get those handoffs from Aaron Rodgers, as Key would say. To get those handoffs, right, Key?
Yeah, it's hot news to me because OBJ is living in the sunshine in Southern California, enjoying life with the new baby and everything like that. And last year, like Kimberly said, he had an opportunity to go play with Aaron Rodgers. He elected to go win a Super Bowl with Matt Stafford, and Sean McVay sold him on that. But since then, you look at the offense with the Rams, you look at certain things and how Sean McVay is distributing the football to one guy only, and it's kind of like, well, you know what? I might go play with Green Bay and play with Aaron Rodgers. I understand it's the cold, but it's only the cold for a month or two because I'm not going to be able to come back anyway anytime soon.
Be the number one.
If I'm an OBJ, I'd rather go to the Chiefs over everybody. I wouldn't even listen to Green Bay. Oh. If I have a chance to go to KC, forget it.
You done did it.
So Kimberly, with that being said, though, let's assume he has the two. You got two great quarterbacks. Which team, and this is not a hot or not, but which team, based on the AFC and the NFC, can get to the Super Bowl?
I think I just said I would rather go to Kansas City, Key. Why? It's a no-brainer. Like, I think Patrick Mahomes,
Mahomes.
Put Reed. Odell with Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, forget it. like, just forget it. Oof. Now, hey, if you can have a conversation about whether Kansas City Chiefs want to sign him, have the money, you can have a conversation about whether it makes sense for them. If they want to do that, that's fine. I'm just looking at, if I'm Odell, I don't want to go back to L.A. because I'm looking at how Cooper Rush literally has more target. He was targeted more versus the 49ers than Allen Robinson was targeted this entire season. Tyler Higbee has more targets than Allen Robinson. Like, so I don't want to go back to L.A., even though L.A. desperately wants Odell back. So if I'm Odell, I want to go to the Chiefs.
I can't
that
blame,
was a mic drop, but there's nothing for me to say. I got nothing to add.
Right. Can't get the handoffs from Mahomes, too.
James Steele, our producer, is cheering with his pom-poms right now.
Listen, I think that's a great idea, Kimberly.
Great idea.
Imagine being stuck with the remains of Eli Manning for a while, and then
Baker
Mayfield. And then all of a sudden it's like,
teammate sound like a corpse.
But then all of a sudden it's like,
you know,
Stafford
what?
Rodgers.
Just
or...
go back to Cleveland and just like that to me would be the ultimate. Yeah, but anyway. Right.
The Steelers going Steelers. With Kenny Pickett moving forward. Is that hot news or
this
not?
This is hot news. It's also the game I'm covering this weekend in Buffalo. It's hot news because I was one of the proponents of just wait till the bye week. But Mike Tomlin making Trubisky the captain in the offseason, giving him that leash. We knew that Trubisky would be on a short leash, and it was up to Money Mitch to keep the rookie on the bench. Something that Money Mitch could not do. They
financial
needed a spark.
Crisis.
they needed Mitch. A spark, and sadly, I don't know if Kenny Pickett will ever be that dude, but you know what? He's got it, bro. Watching that post-game press conference, he sounds like Tomlin. He's like, people are trying to ask him about, oh, you made your first, like, you came in the game. What does it feel like? He's like, we lost, bro. I don't really care about all that. Like, he has got this confidence and an edge to him that, unfortunately, Mitchell Trubisky does not have.
Yeah, it's not news. He was going to start. As soon as he pulled the hook at halftime, it was a wrap. Mitch Trubisky era was over, and the Kenny Pickett era had just begun in the second half. So when I looked at it, I'm like, it's over. Mitch Trubisky now, he's a lifetime backup. He got his opportunity to resurrect his career and get back in it, and it didn't happen. And so now
he's going back to Buffalo on the bench. Mitch Trubisky going back to Buffalo.
Well, I mean, yeah, he might do that. He might do something else, but he won't be a starting quarterback in Pittsburgh. That's for damn sure.
It's not news to me. I mean, sorry, Money Mitch, but a recession's coming. I mean, but Kimberly, I've never seen him this way. So we often talk
Kenny
about
or who?
Well, just even when he took that year in Buffalo, right? But coming from the Bears situation, like, I get that people start spinning the narrative about, well, look what he was able to accomplish, even though Matt Nagy was the ineptitude on that team. But I just didn't see him being that leader for an organization.
And here's the problem with Mitch, unfortunately. Confidence was his biggest issue, or lack thereof, in Chicago. Like, he would not want the TVs on in Halas Hall. Like, he didn't want to – he wanted to block out the noise. And I think if you're going to be a quarterback, you have to – like, you cannot care what anybody thinks. The way Joe Burrow was like, I really don't care what you think about me. I'm going to get sacked 70 times, but I still know I'm that dude. Like, you need to have that sort of toe the line of, like, confidence and arrogance a little bit. And Mitch just is sort – you could tell that when you got a rookie who went to Pitt and the fans are cheering for him in the preseason, it was going to be a wrap sooner or later.
You said the magic words, two words, Joe Burrow.
Joey Burrow.
That's right, Key. You know all the endorphins start to pump in my body. Oh, yeah, Joe Burrow. All right. Sam Darnold is not – close to coming off the injured reserve. Hot news or not news?
So I normally would say not news because, okay, at this point, it's Sam Darnold. But the fact that Baker has not looked good, the fact that Matt Rhule is on the hot seat, the fact that this offense and Ben McAdoo, for whatever reason, it just is not clicking. The Panthers have no other options right now, so they have to stick with Baker. That's why I think it's hot news.
Yeah, it's not news at all. I mean, the quarterback situation in Carolina is not very good, clearly, right?
But that's why coaches, it's hot news.
Yeah, it's not. But it's for you, it's hot news because you got to be at the games and stand there and watch this stuff. It's not hot news to me. And both of these quarterbacks are not very good. And so, in the end, the coach is going to get fired. They already probably out there talking to some coaches behind the scene, getting ready to tee it up for late December when they fire him. That's just – Carolina ain't going nowhere. So, it's not news.
You see, Key, I think this is hot news not because of Sam Darnold, but because of – Baker Mayfield and his lack thereof performance. Mm-hmm. His QBR is dead last in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And if we're talking about Matt Rhule getting fired, mm-hmm. a new regime coming in, mm-hmm. I'm not sticking with that as my quarterback. So this may be the talk of Baker Mayfield becoming a backup quarterback in the NFL.
It's not news, man. It's Sam Darnold, guys. It can't be news if it's Sam Darnold. I hate to tell you, it's just like a certain level, man. Russell Wilson expects to play Thursday night football. Is that hot news or not news?
Can I just say I'm not excited about this game?
It's not the most glamorous game of all time.
It's not the most glamorous game of all time. I mean, Russell's play. I mean, I expect the Broncos to win because the
cool,
Colts.
Russ plays.
Yeah. Womp, womp, womp.
Jay, you going?
No, it's not in London, Key. If it were in London, I would go.
Yeah, it's not. It's not news, man.
I care more about
whatever.
Baker and Sam Darnold than this right now. I'm sorry.
It's football. We want to watch it.
We are going to watch it. This is what we
this
do.
Is what we do.
Football.
But it's the Colts and the damn Broncos.
Who needs a game
more?
By
the way, I'll be coming in refreshed on Friday, man. It's not going to be one of those late nights on Thursday night.
Who needs a game more?
If you're the Broncos and you lose to the Colts,
oh, not good. I mean, the Colts are already trending in the wrong direction.
Broncos have time, though. No one, like, that division, as it turns out, you know.
The Broncos are in a harder division, though.
But I'm saying they have a little time, even if they drop a bad one early.
Fair. But to me, the Colts have an easier division. So, like, they actually can pick up steam as the season goes on and still have a chance given their division. I think the Broncos have less margin for error given their division.
I would have certainly said that to start the season.
Yeah. What up?
Who wins? Is it the Colt or is it the Broncos? Get it?
So stupid. That's what the game is dwindled down to.
You know what?
That's what the Thursday night game is dwindled down to.
It's
the Colt or the Bronco, the horses.
If only they had the horses, am I right? They're a bunch of front runners, am I right? All right. Thank you, Kimberly A. Martin.
Yo, fresh kicks today.
Oh, yeah. She got the Wookiees
wow.
on.
I'm not.
Wow.
My bad. I think they fly.
She got the bakas on.
She got the fur.
Woods, but not fur.
Chewies.
You guys, you know what? My shoes
them
are
things,
flying.
Them things look expensive.
You know.
She got the Ewok 3000s on, man.
I know Max is not trying
the
to
Endors.
Play my shoes. I know. That's not happening.
We're building.
The great Kimberly Martin, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Kimberly. I'll see you later. Hot news or not news is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. All right, we mentioned it earlier with Kimberly. Is Green Bay, in fact, the best landing spot for Odell Beckham Jr.? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPNU. You can download the podcast. You can listen on your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Love the app, man. The ESPN app is just great, period. But you don't have to sit in your car. You don't have to be by a radio. If you have the app, if you have a phone in your pocket, you probably got the app on it. Click on it, lower right-hand corner, you see more. Click on more, scroll down, listen live. Boom, you got us. Aaron Rodgers, guys, says he always wanted to team up with Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr. Word on the street.
Odell Beckham
Jr. Odell Beckham Jr. Here is Aaron Rodgers. All the Aarons, they're running sports on the Pat McAfee Show.
Odell and I have been friends for a number of years now, and so we keep in contact, often. We talked at various times over the years, and obviously with a player like that, you're always hoping that there's a time where you can figure things out and play together.
Is Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers and those – so you got to see Key watching great quarterbacks when he's so jealous as a receiver, watching these receivers go, oh, it's like a handoff. Are those handoffs from Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay the best place for Odell, do you think?
I think between, if the Rams situation gets cleaned up, that's the best spot for him on the pecking order. Then I think the Green Bay spot becomes number two because he brings another veteran presence to – a young, they got Lazar, who's still, relatively young, but they got Cobb and Sammy Watkins there. But he brings a veteran presence to the situation, and Kansas City certainly can use him. There's no question about it. You know, any of the three spots would be good, but the Green Bay thing, because Aaron Rodgers have basically openly gushed about a guy who is a free agent and not signed with a team right now, it certainly feels like if I'm going to recruit you to bring you in, I'm going to make sure that you're not in a situation like Allen Robinson is with the Los Angeles Rams. That was one of the interesting things about Allen Robinson going to L.A. with Cooper Kupp and then potentially OBJ coming back and Van Jefferson being there, that the amount of touches to help your team win would be probably less than at other places because of the relationship that Cooper Kupp has with Matthew Stafford along with Sean McVay, who seems to only get the football to one guy, and that's Cooper Kupp. Now, when you go to Kansas City, you got Travis Kelce there with the relationship that he has with Patrick Mahomes. There's no real relationship in Green Bay outside of Randall Cobb in crucial situations. So if you look at it and you scouring the best place to get your next Super Bowl ring, I would personally think it would be Green Bay. I go back and think about why DeSean Jackson wanted out of Los Angeles so bad, because he wasn't allowed to contribute at a certain level because he was there. He knew that the offense was going to run through Cooper Kupp, which rightfully so, because he catches the football, he contributes, he does some things, he helped them win a Super Bowl. It becomes a point in time, though, as a player, you don't want to stand out there and be a cardboard cutout just for that reason. But if Aaron Rodgers is going to get him the football and it's going to help him win, I think Green Bay is the best spot.
You see, I say this point to add on to yours, Key, not to sidetrack us, but I think it further clarifies how I see it. You know, the whole immunization, right? Immunized. Like, for me, like, when I heard that moment, I was like, oh, okay, like, Aaron Rodgers is very specific with what he says. And there's a lot of intent behind what he says to the media. Even if he's asked a particular question, I just pay attention. I lean in more now.
You mean the phrasing and the words he chooses?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
right?
Bill Clinton style.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what does that actually mean?
You got to start looking it up to make sure that you pin him down on the exact interpretation. Yeah.
So for me, hearing him, even if if you think all the pieces that you currently have in play are enough to get you there, here's how I would answer that question. Even if somebody asks, so how about any of your friends, or would you like to play with OBJ? But look, I'm really happy with what we got right now. Like, well, what we have right now with our youth, with the additions of our veterans, like, that's it. Like, we can win a championship with this. But to me, this further continues the conversation about Aaron Rodgers and his relationship with management. Because this, to me, is a sign.
And the young receivers, Jay.
And the young receiver. This, to me, is a sign, like, hey, look, what we currently have, yeah, I'm happy, okay. We need more.
What do you think of that, Key?
We need more,
real quick,
Key,
before
to help
we
us
get out of
there.
Here. I need your response to that, real quick, before we get out of here.
I don't subscribe to what Jay is saying. That's real quick.
All right.
You don't think he needs more?
No, I don't.
And he's not messaging
it would be a luxury to have more.
Is he sending a message to management or his young receivers by saying that about Odell?
Neither.
Okay.
Neither at all.
Okay. I see it differently.
Nothing to see here. Please disperse.
I disagree.
Kenny Pickett provide the Steelers with a spark? Has he already done it? Should we expect a different offense now?
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's going to run, get to the goal line, touchdown, Pittsburgh.
We took a couple rights and a left, but we finally got to Kenny Pickett.
He probably gives them the best chance to win.
You just have to now ride with Kenny Pickett and just try to get him ready for 2023.
I think you're going to get a little more pop with Kenny Pickett. You're going to get a kid that believes.
Keyshawn, J. Willem X, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app.
If it is
enough. But the question is, are the Steelers in love with Kenny Pickett?
Damn.
So, Kenny Pickett is number one on the depth chart at QB for Pittsburgh. Head coach Mike Tomlin. At the press conference, you know, probably my prediction is for this sound, he's probably going to sound wishy-washy and, you know, not very comfortable talking to the media, not really sure of what he's doing. Let's hear what Mike Tomlin had to say, and let's hear how he sounded about Kenny Pickett and, change a quarterback.
We made the change. Obviously, Mitch's performance was a component of the decision, but not the only component of the decision, and I just want to be really clear there. Oftentimes, the quarterback position gets too much credit, too much blame. We haven't moved the ball fluidly enough to our liking. We hadn't put enough points on the board. The quarterback is a component of that, but not the only component. I don't want to dump the responsibility of what transpired at Mitch's feet. That's not fair to him. He's played better than that description, but we haven't. And so in an effort to be better, in an effort to score more points, in an effort to move the ball more fluidly, we decided to go to Kenny.
Anything, why does Mike T sound like he's speaking to 10,000 people?
This is always – anything he says, I'll buy it.
It was an orator, man.
I'm like, man, Coach T, you're not talking to 10,000 people in an arena. You're talking to a small group of press people.
But
well, I mean,
right,
I guess so, Key, when you're Mike Tomlin in this situation, like he's the one that named Trubisky captain, right? So I think when you put that label on a player that then doesn't – kind of live up to those expectations, there's still a lot of, you know, your own integrity, right? And with the way you make decisions, that's kind of on the line. So I think that's why you hear him being so demonstrative and kind of backing up. Yeah, this is not an indictment on Trubisky. It's a lot of other factors. But at the end of the day, we all know what time it is, Key. Like, we know that Mitchell wasn't that dude, that Kenny Pickett is more that guy.
Yeah, it's not that he's more the guy. I think it's tough when you draft – when you draft a kid from in the same building, literally in the same building, it's not like Pittsburgh is University of Pittsburgh is like in the state of Pennsylvania, but like 150 miles away. It's literally in the same, they share the same facility, the same everything. They pass each other all the time, get in the same parking lot, in and out of the car. So it's very difficult when you draft a guy from that area, from there, and then Mitch Trubisky comes and signs and plays like hot garbage for the most part throughout the first four games of the season. And now you had an opportunity this last game to maybe pull away, but it was going to happen. Was it going to happen in week five? I don't think they anticipated that. They anticipated it happening at the end of the year when we're out of the playoff hunt, maybe. We could insert him into the lineup, get him some reps before the 2023 season. This could potentially be a good thing for them. Now, it's not like Kenny Pickett came in and lit up the world. I mean, he did get a football to the other team three damn times. So you've got to just take the young quarterback and whatever little juice he gives you. Different than Lamar Jackson, but same. Joe Flacco didn't give the Baltimore Ravens at the time any hope. So what they said is, you know what, Joe, go sit down over there. We're going to put this young gun in here, and we're just going to see what happens. He took them to the playoffs. Different than Kurt Warner and Eli Manning, where Kurt Warner was there, but the offense was not doing anything. So they said, well, if we're going to do this with you, we might as well do it with the young guy. And this is the same situation to a degree with Kenny Pickett. They're not getting anything done, so let's just get a spark going and let's see how things happen and people respond, and then we'll go from there.
But in Pickett's defense, like two of the interceptions, one came off the hands of an offensive player, right? Didn't make the catch. The other was a heave before the half into the end zone that got picked. So, but I mean, the reality of the matter is that Mitchell Trubisky, two passing touchdowns for the season. For the season thus far.
He was terrible.
And they're not running the ball because their O-line is having some issues. Their defense is a little bit depleted. So it's like, you know, where do you find that pop? And also, I mean, the last thing, there are only two quarterbacks in the NFL who have a lower QBR.
I'd like to get back to, Jay, to what you and Kimberly were talking about leadership, about personality type. Okay. If you're not putting up the numbers, Key, Jay, and you're, you know, okay, but your team is winning. Or even if your team isn't winning, but it's competing and you have the kind of personality that you think the team will eventually rally around, that's one thing. But if you're not playing well and you're not winning and you're hearing things from Kimberly and Jay, from you who, like, you know, watched it closely in Chicago, I don't think the personality is there. But then on the flip side, you say, look, I don't know about Kenny Pickett, what's going to happen, but I think he's got the chops for it. He's got the personality for it.
So, Max, Coach K would do this all the time. He would freeze a frame on your face in the middle of a game. And sometimes in your face you'd be angry or you sulk. He's like, is that the face of somebody that exudes confidence? Is that the face of somebody that you want to follow or run through the wall for? And there have been a lot of times I look at Mitch Trubisky's face, Key, and I'm like, I ain't trying to play for that. Like, well, how am I going to back that? You know, it's not like that look of that air of confidence, man, that swag, that Key, that you would have on the field that makes somebody else like, yo, I know what time it is.
Key, we got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
I'm going to have a voice. I'm going to say something. So,
what do you think about that idea, though, about Trubisky versus Pickett along the personality lines?
Yeah, if he got a stale personality, it's dry and nobody wants to deal with it. They kind of just going through the motions. That's not good.
And what about Pickett's personality? Does it bode well?
If he's upbeat, like a guy that you see, and he's upbeat and he's talking to people and he's walking around, yeah, you're going to have confidence that I could go into the huddle with this guy.
So you guys were talking about something earlier in the show we wanted to get back to. As the price for Aaron Judge continues to rise, has he become the LeBron James of baseball? Key and Jay, we're getting into this earlier. We will continue it. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.